Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Trundlebed Tales Radio. This is your host, Sarah Utoff, again operating as a roving reporter, as I am going to tell you today about my day at the Little House in the Prairie Museum site in Independence, Kansas. And I'm in the hotel right now and had the delightful feeling of washing the gray out of my hair after being an older Laura all day, and so I've been really looking forward to sharing the experience with you, and I hope you enjoy it, too. I'd like to thank the Laura friends, both that I had already met in person and the ones that I'd only previously met online who came out to the site today. And if you didn't make it yourself, I'd like to highly recommend that you try and get out for Prairie Days next year. Especially if you have a youngster, girl or boy, who is interested in entering, well, what they call a character contest, which is often called a Little Miss Laura or Young Almanzo contest at other sites, because the field was a little thin today, and I think you'd have a pretty good shot. So remember that and come out next year. You have a whole year to wait, work on your outfit. I took Highway 75 out of Independence, and last time we came the opposite way because we'd come down on the Missouri side of the river and then crossed over and came up. And so about the first thing we came across was the Harrisonville Cemetery. Now, this is a very eye-catching wrought iron sign painted bright white, and as you're pulling along, you'll see it. And if you pull up down the long gravel road there, at the end of it is the cemetery on the top of the rise. And in the second row from the back, you'll see a big white stone that says Mason. And if you look right beside it is the stone, a red stone for Edmund Mason, who is believed at this time to be everybody's best guess of who Mr. Edwards might have been in real life. So I started out the morning taking a look at that. Then we headed out to the site. It's about two turns after that. And we got to the Little House in the Prairie Museum site. And it's been since 1999 since I was there. And I have to say that I was really impressed with the changes they made. And one thing that I would like to say especially impressed me was before I had often said that I thought probably it was best to go to the Little House in the Prairie Museum site when you were traveling, you know, in a small group or by yourself, because it really is a place where you can really kind of feel like you stepped into the book if you just stand in the prairie and look out across it. But I have to say that this event was a great event, and I think people would really enjoy it. So now I guess I'm going to have to reevaluate it. Besides having me walking around in Laura in the 1930s, which is always a plus, they also had a number of other first-person interpreters. We had someone being postmaster, someone being Mr. Edwards, who had a great coonskin cap, the kind that still has the face on the front. There was the schoolmistress, and also Ma, Caroline Ingalls herself, who was cooking a meal. And I talked extensively and interacted in first person with pretty much all of them. I didn't get a chance to do much with Mr. Edwards, but I was really impressed with their presentations, and I think you will be too. And besides the actual Prairie Days event, they're going to be there at different times and different days throughout the summer. And I hope that you get a chance to interact with them because they really did a phenomenal job. Now, physical improvements since 1999, I'd heard that they had had a parking lot. They had sort of paved and perhaps widened, I'm not exactly sure, the strip along the road where cars park, though I think that is better than when it was gravel. There, the last time I was there, there was natural gas pumps all over the field. As you looked around the site, those are all gone now. And then there were signs that were different from the ones that I saw. The sort of historic sign about the cabin itself was different. The sign about the sheriff was different. But they're still not happy with those, and I think they're going to be even better signs the next time I get down there. Hopefully it won't be 10 years again. They did a lot of physical improvements. There was a brand new cedar roof on the school, and they're going to be scraping and painting the school later this year. In the post office, they had cleaned it all out and redecorated it. And the last time I was there, it was a gift shop with operating off of a card table. And now it really looks like a classical post office. And they were stamping postcards for kids in there today, and that was just really great. And I'm glad they got that up as being more of a historic building, because it certainly is part of an era that's fading fast, and I think that was a good way to preserve it. The cabin has been reorganized, and I have to say it looks a lot more like a home and a little less like a museum. Signs and letters and odds and ends that had kind of sort of gathered on the walls the last time I was there, I'm sure over the course of years since it was started, are all gone. They have reorganized things. It looks a lot more like a house that somebody actually lives in. They had equipment for writing, equipment for cooking. There was an outside wall traps like Pa would have had hanging up, and it just looked a lot more like an active house than the last time I was there, and I was really pleased to see that. Now, the gift shop, as I mentioned the last time I was there, was in the post office. Now it's in the farmhouse. It still had somebody living in it last time, and I think the site has really improved from the addition of that extra space. The gift shop has two rooms. There's various kind of decorative displays in there, too. They had a nice collection of the old photographs of sites that Mansfield sold in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Also, some other pictures. They had a nice selection of the standard postcards you see at a lot of the sites, some dolls, some nice prairie outfits. I got another Charlotte doll to add to my collection. Yes, I'm sadly crossed the Rubicon on dolls, and now I have to get everyone I see, and now I got another Charlotte doll, which I can't wait to add to my doll presentation. So I'm just really excited about that. One thing is you'll notice although dolls collectors out there, they had to cut off the part of the tag that said Little House on the Prairie, so you can date the tail ends of these dolls pretty close, because they're the ones with the snip tag. There's also a brand new bathroom building. It's made out of some kind of stone. It was very nice, big roomy bathrooms. They were $1 each, though, so if you're there and you see the deadbolt across, be aware that just means you have to wait your turn. So if somebody's in there. Behind the farmhouse, they've also stabilized some of the buildings. The granary stabilized. The barn has a new cedar roof, and they've also cleaned it out and fixed it up a little bit. In fact, they were using that area for crafts today, where they had beads for Terry making a necklace. They had some lovely coloring sheets. They also had some donkeys and various animals over there. They were very friendly and were coming up, and people were petting them. It just was great. There was a band playing from the stage most of the day, and you could hear that no matter where you went. There was an old-fashioned Power Club out there, and they had a lovely selection of hand-on things. They had hand pumps you could do to pump water. They had a corn sheller and then a grinder for the corn. They had a rope maker with a very clever stand that somebody had developed, and then they had a Cub tractor painted black that was pulling a set of barrel cars, which they did a really nice job on. They even had somebody, an adult, place to sit in the back so they could monitor the kids and watch if there anybody got into trouble and hop off. It was just very well done. Oh, and I forgot when I was talking about the farmhouse to mention the well, Pot Well, which sadly had to be closed up because people kept throwing trash in it, which I think is very sad. But it's got the new kind of rock thing around it since I was there, and then there is a well cover on top that looks like the one Moss lifted up in the book. The character contest I mentioned already went really well. And then at 2 o'clock, I did my program. I did sort of a little general bit about Laura's life, and then I had pre-printed questions to get them going, and then went ahead and called on live questions, and it went really well. One adult came up to me at the end and said that he was just amazed that the children were sitting there in rapt attention, and everybody on the site was really nice and knew everything that was going on and could easily direct people. I was really impressed with that, and though I came away with a long list of things to do the next time I make it to Independence, I really think that we had a good day. I think that everybody had a good time. And I think that it really was a positive day for the site, and I hope everybody else feels that way too. I think they do. I was really impressed with the spirit of moving forward with the potential of the site with everybody I talked to there, and I think that they have a bright future ahead in Independence. So I hope that I'm right and that you'll get a chance to head down Independence and the Little House on the Prairie Museum site soon. And if you haven't gotten a chance to do so, make sure that you like them on Facebook and that you follow them on Twitter, because in both places they've been really good about sending out information, and we always like to encourage the site to share all the information they can. Well, thank you for joining me tonight for Trundle Bed Tales Radio. I hope you enjoyed this roving report from Independence. Hopefully I'll have a video up of it within a week or two, I hope. And you can check the Trundle Bed Tales YouTube channel for that. The next episode of Trundle Bed Tales will be on Tuesday night. And it's going to be one of the travel episodes. I'm going to be talking to the people of Trek Fest in Riverside, Iowa. So if you know any Star Trek fans, make sure they know to tune in on Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Mountain Time, and 7 p.m. Pacific Time. So thank you all, and I will see you again for Trundle Bed Tales Radio.